and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
This is Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Bringing you another episode of the brothers, another late night recording. And basically, we're just going to jump into the episode today for our listeners, Big Root. And today's topic title is The Long Game. And The Long Game refers to the Texas law that was passed yesterday that basically bans abortion. I mean, there's a lot more legalese involved with it, but basically the law that was signed into law yesterday by the governor of Texas literally basically erases Roe v. Wade in that state.
Which is huge. That was a long, hard fight to get Roe v. Wade passed many, many years ago. And now with the stroke of a pen, it's basically been abolished.
Definitely, definitely. You said it. And I think the irony of that, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you're aware of it, I believe that Roe v. Wade was from a case that started in Texas. I could be wrong, but I believe it started in Texas.
That sounds correct, but I'm not 100% sure.
Right? It's not anything heavy for our listeners to absorb. It's just literally interesting detail if that is where it's from, because it would almost seem to, as Big Root said, just with a stroke of a pen, erase something that was very longstanding. So the reason today's episode is called The Long Game is that there's been many opponents of Roe v. Wade, many opponents of abortion that are happy. And when I say happy, they've been working towards this for a long time. There's no secret there, so we're not dropping anything substantial in saying that. But I think the real reason the long game is that if you think about some of the unscrupulous tactics that have been used, if you think about the political processes that have been, in some sense, broken to get the end result, I think it shows that when we look at the Republican Party over the last 50 years, and when we look at the Republican Party, certainly over the last decade, you've seen that the rules don't matter. You've seen that the Constitution doesn't matter. I mean, basically, the Supreme Court has broken the Constitution in a lot of ways. I hate to say that. That's probably a scary thing when we think about it. But I think consistently over the last couple of years, they've taken actions that have shown that the laws that are written aren't as firm as the people who want to change them.
I agree. I think what I've observed is that they push the envelope as far as it will go or even beyond the line, and then it's up to the other party to correct it. And if you don't correct it, we'll just leave the line way over, you know, we'll leave what we did way over the line. We don't care.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think to your point, because when we say other side, I mean, it sucks that our political system is so binary, because it really isn't supposed to be binary, right? It's really supposed to be a system of, as we explained in a previous episode, there's no real benefit to any citizen being part of a political party, right? There's nothing incumbent of being a member of a political party as far as voting, your right to vote, who you could vote for, whatever. What happens is there have been layers of abstractions that have, in local voting laws, that have governed who you could vote for. So, for example, I'm an independent. I'm a registered independent. So I cannot vote in either primary in the state of New York. And I accept that. I don't know if it's fair. I don't know if that's constitutional. I could actually probably take a case and try to go to the Supreme Court with it that that's not constitutional, that my right, I should be able to be an independent and vote in a primary, right? Because I'm a citizen. I have all my rights to vote. So why is it I have to join a party to be allowed to vote for a particular candidate? So that's the nature of the political process at the local level. It's state by state and whatever. There are states where you can vote in any primary you want or anything like that. So the reason I say that is because we shouldn't have to think Republican or Democrat. We should think what's in the best interest of ourselves, the best interest of the country. We don't. We can't do that. It is Democrat or Republican. It really is. It's very binary, right? You either voted for Joe Biden or you voted for Donald Trump. either voted for Hillary Clinton or he voted for Donald Trump. It really was that simple.
Well, it's true, because if you do have a third party candidate and you vote for him, and you know they don't have a large portion of the electorate that's going to vote for them, you're basically throwing your vote in the garbage, or exactly. giving the vote to the other side that who you're really not say going against, but you're helping that side easily.
Exactly. So the real principle of this is that you have to think binary wise, which goes back because we're both political science students. We both took it in college. And so this is not like a new topic. And again, so my desire to be independent is rooted deeply in my view of myself as an American, as a citizen with the right to basically make a choice based on my interests and my belief of what's best for the country. The system as it's designed, the game as it's been played or set up, is you have to join this team to play on these rules to get this outcome. And that's why I said it is a binary system, even though it shouldn't be a binary system.
Oh, I agree.
So that being said, with it being a binary system and understanding that it has, our political system has been transformed into a game, it seems that one side is very good at playing the game. And when I say playing the game, they've created the long game. As you said before, checkers and chess. And what happens is I'm going to punt the ball for the next three series so I can get an easy touchdown. If that makes sense, anyone understand football. I'm not thinking about running the ball right now and how many yards I'm going to get. I'm thinking three series down the road.
Yep. I'm looking at the final result of what I'm trying to accomplish as opposed to trying to win each little battle.
Exactly. Well said. That's probably the best way of putting it. Because I know the football analogy went over a lot of our listeners' heads. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Fumble, punt, what? But anyway, you said it best, right? But it's true, because if we're looking at every little decision, every little political battle, we're not putting it together. And more importantly, as we talked about off air, if we're going to follow the rules to a T, and the other side, and again, to our listeners, we're saying the other side because we've pre-acknowledged that we live in a binary system. We shouldn't, but we do. Right? It's not about the greater good or the best interest of the country. It's about what team you're on, what rules they're playing by or not playing by, and how you get things done. So that being said, we have to acknowledge that one side is playing very well. One side is playing the long game.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Yep. You have to determine for yourself, you know, they are playing the long game and they're winning. But can you live by playing by those rules?
I guess when you say, can you win by playing by those rules?
Not can you win, but can you live with playing by those rules? It's like someone that, you know, can you live by always driving the speed limit and following all the regulations? Or are you somebody that, you know, as long as I don't get caught, it's all good?
True. But to your point, how many people that speed way above the law or break the speed limit really care about living or thinking down the road? So in a way, it's a good point you made. It's almost kind of like a reverse philosophy. The team that plays the long game and it's very conniving and not really following the rules and not worried about the best interests or doing the right thing is also the team that, to your point, may be driving us recklessly off a cliff. So it's weird. On one hand, they're being very strategic, or so it seems. On the other hand, they're being very reckless. And the end results are here. And I think I really like that point because that really indicates where we are across the board in this country. So can you elaborate on your point? Because I don't know if we can live that way, but I don't know if they care about living or if they even understand living. Again, we're talking about Democrats, Republicans. So let's make it clear for our listeners. We're talking about Republicans. We're talking about people, as you said off air, who on one hand, they will not speed a vote through when there's a missing Supreme Court justice, because that's not fair for the democratic process. We need to wait for the next election. Then they'll reverse it when it's in their favor. They're completely hypocritical and they're not even shy about it.
No, they're not. They're not shy about it. And to my point, just elaborating on it a little bit more, long term, this could be very detrimental to the country. This is also the same party that will spend money frivolously on certain wars or initiatives. And you're like, where's this money coming from? Oh, don't worry about it. Let's just do this, do this, do this. And we'll worry about it later. Later okay. might come and we might, I'm just saying later might come and it might be too late.
Yeah, but again, you're saying that that somehow matters to them, right? That they're being responsible in some way. That's why I said it's almost an oxymoron. On one hand, they seem to be playing a long game where they're outthinking, the Republicans are outthinking the Democrats, right? On the other hand, they're not making any sense, right? Let's just put it really blunt for our listeners. We're not going to play any real metaphorical games, right? They've been denying climate change for 30 years. We're seeing the effects of climate change. They've been denying the COVID vaccine or virus, or whatever, for the last year and a half. Record numbers of people are dying, right? They've been denied that we have a problem with the Second Amendment when we have mass shootings at a scale that some war zones don't have. So to your point, they're winning those battles like they are, that they're winning the Second Amendment battle. They're winning it. There's no question about it, right? Because the Second Amendment's not moving. They're winning the climate change battle until recently. Now more people are saying, oh, we got to do something about climate change. You name it that. It depends where you are. They're winning the COVID battle. You have a governor in Florida who's killing Floridians. You have a governor in Texas who's killing Texans. And so on in other states in the same area. This is happening on a daily basis, right? But they're winning. In other words, they have people clamoring to their side. You have people that are dying in Florida saying that this is what we want, or we're not really dying, or this is the outcome we're going for. So in other words, we may be speeding off a cliff, but you have people that are pressing down on the gas.
Yeah, it's true. They really believe in their principles. And I guess what I'm trying to say is the other party is hell-bent on playing by the rules and doing things in an orderly democratic fashion and seems to be getting left behind.
Exactly. Hence the title for today's episode, The Long Game. But then what is the strategy for Democrats? Should they also play the long game? Should they also start being more reckless and not adhering to fiscal policy that is responsible or public health policies that are meant to protect us? Like, in other words, they're almost getting punished for doing the right thing, right? We're going to dot our I's and cross our T's, and somehow that's being held against us.
Yeah, I mean, in the old adage, you got to fight fire with fire sometimes. You got to play, maybe you have to stoop to the other party's tricks to try to stay in the game, or you're going to lose all the battles.
Okay. I mean, that's valid. That is a valid point. So bring it back to the specifics of today's conversation, with the new Texas law that, again, effectively erases Roe v. Wade from the state of Texas. And again, other states are trying to file suit. What could the Democrats do to use your point, to push back, right? What could they do? Like, how could they meet this law? In other words, right now the Republicans control the Texas legislature. They have the governor. So you could say that they have the majority of the citizens voting for them. That's why they won. You could argue that, but that's what you could say. So what can the Democrats do? In other words, they lost electorally, which is why they were not able to stop this from going through.
I'm not sure what the recourse is. I mean, obviously, I think you might have protests from women's groups and pro-choice groups, because obviously you're taking away a woman's choice, which is something that was hard fought for way back in the 70s. And, you know, I actually don't know a whole lot about the law. Are there exceptions? Is this unilaterally, once it's 6 weeks, there's no exceptions, no matter how the person, you know, the child was conceived? I mean, I don't know what all the rules and ramifications are, but this is far reaching if this is to go through and this is, unilaterally the decision that is going to be made.
My understanding is that there is no exceptions for abortion or I mean, sorry, for rape or incest. So basically, 6 weeks is the determinant. Basically, I think the particulates are, once you can determine the fetal heartbeat, there's nothing you can do. And that occurs prior to most women being aware that they're pregnant. So basically, if you somehow miraculously realize at a certain point prior to then yes, you can still do it. If you don't realize, then what happens is another part of the law, in addition to the 6 weeks, is that it's empowered regular citizens to sue anyone that assists in the process of getting an abortion. So that includes a doctor. That includes any taxi driver who may drive you to the clinic, or anyone relative drives to the clinic. They can then be sued by this individual. So in other words, no one who has any standing in the situation, not a family member who opposes your decision, a random stranger can stand outside of an abortion clinic, see you pull up in a cab, can then sue that cab driver for $10,000, can sue, I guess, the proprietor of the clinic or the doctor, whoever's involved, for $10,000. And we'll profit from it. So a random individual who has no connection to you or the situation that you're in can profit off of your ability to do something.
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
This is crazy. Let me ask you another question. So again, you're a little more well-versed in this than I am right now. Say this is in Texas. So I'm going to drive from Texas to Arizona. In Arizona, it's legal right now to have an abortion. Is that legal for the person to leave states and do this?
Yes. My understanding, again, I'm not perfectly versed in this, but I'm just taking information I've received from the news media. But basically, yes, the law specifically just enacted in the state of Texas, and there's no provision that I'm aware of that precludes someone from leaving Texas. So in other words, if you want to drive 5 hours, 8 hours out of state, that's your business. Now, what the requirements for you in the next state are different. Right. Not saying to change the law, just saying what you need to have. Like, do you need to be a member of that state, resident or whatever? That's different. But Texas is just saying you can't do it in the state of Texas. Right. Other states now are Republican minded, or Republican states are trying to file suit because, oh, it worked over there, it can work here. So, yes, other states are basically following suit.
All right. So I totally understand that now. Let's say someone is raped, and obviously they don't know right away that they have been impregnated. Are they able to, say, take the morning after pill? Is that illegal, or has nothing to do with this whole transaction right now?
No, that's a really good point which you just made, because I don't know if there's any provision in the law one way or another for the morning after pill. In other words, whatever you do prior to 6 weeks, well, not to whatever, whatever is legal prior to 6 weeks is still legal, right? So you can still go to abortion clinics, I believe. What happens is there has to be a determining factor of the age of the fetus, and that's when the law kicks in. So if you go to an abortion clinic 2 or 3 weeks in and you're able to determine that you're pregnant, fine. I would assume the same thing applies to the morning after pill. Can you take the morning after pill after 6 weeks? That's the point that you just made. That's a good point, because maybe you can't. Maybe the stores can't sell the morning after pill, or maybe they can sue the stores or something, or they can sue the pharmaceutical company that makes the morning after pill. So I don't know. I don't know if that particularly is in the provision or if it's specific to the abortion process performed at clinics.
Right, and I also assume it's called the morning after pill because it works, you know, within that time frame, and obviously 6 weeks down the road, it has no effect on the fetus.
Right. But to your point, I'm saying is I don't know if there's any other process by which someone could go about that's also precluded, or if it's specific to the wording where you can't go to a doctor's clinic and whatever. So bring it back for our listeners, right? The real point is that you do not have the ability to make the decision has been taken away from the individual, right? This is now a case where the state said you cannot do it after this time period. And more importantly, and this is probably the trickiest part of it all, any citizen can sue the people supporting you in doing it. And I think that's where the law is a little tricky, because basically what they've done is they made bounty hunters, right? People, regular citizens, are now bounty hunters. They're entities of the state now, as far as stopping people from having abortions or performing abortions. Not from having it. No one can perform it. I think that's where the law is designed. It's not that you can't get it. It's just that no one can perform it, which is the same as you can't get it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, it's really disturbing that a person with no standing, it's one thing if it's a father or uncle or somebody that has a relationship with that person, but now I just happen to not like anybody to, you know, I believe in, you know, all life matters, so I'm just going to stand outside the clinics and start suing people.
Exactly. And profiting from it, not just suing them. I'm literally making money off of your situation. So to the point you made earlier, God forbid someone gets raped, learns after the fact this is their situation, decides they don't want to go through with it, someone can profit off of their misery.
Yep. That's really crazy. I mean, I guess what they're trying to do is we'll have a lot of kids in foster care.
Maybe. I mean, but that goes back to the point of the episode, right? The long game. What is the long game, right? Because I'm sure that not only was this decision the goal they were trying to get to, but I'm sure the impacts of it. Because we can argue people's belief system as far as whether it's right or wrong. That's a personal choice. That's a belief choice. It's a philosophical choice. It's a religious choice. What it wasn't up until yesterday, last night, was a legal choice, right? Legally, there was no standing. It was the law of the land. It was a medical procedure that anyone who was of age and in that situation could receive. So it's no longer a legal thing now. Now it's legal based on the way the law is crafted. So going back to the long game, and just so our listeners can stay with us with that, I asked you a few minutes ago, what could the Democrats do? And this is just an idea from the top of my head, just to try to start thinking strategically and down the road. Maybe they need to find some way that there's more of a profit incentive to disallow to disallow this law. Because right now this law does two things. Right, I'm not going to talk about it's suppressing the rights of women, because that's implied. But what it does is it grants people who have no standing in the situation to profit from the situation. Right, like you said, that makes no sense. How can someone have no standing? Right, you can't even sue anybody unless you have standing in almost any property case. And now we're talking about a medical situation that involves a particular individual. Someone else can sue you over what's going to happen with your body. So there's a profit margin there, right? Profit motive. So that's what I said. Maybe if there was some way for the Democrats to come up with legislation where it would be more profitable to not do that. I'm not going to say profitable to have abortions, because I don't think the case is really about having abortions or not having abortions. Today's topic is really about the strategies that go into how laws are crafted.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Well, first of all, it's about redistricting, right? You know, Republicans use redistricting to keep power. And it's something that both sides know about. Democrats know about it. But somehow they're not as good at doing it as the Republicans are. And that's what I'm saying. It goes back to, okay, how do you... Democrats get better at redistricting, because redistricting is how you can gerrymander districts to vote the way you want to vote.
Totally understand. Is there a way to force the Supreme Court to hear this case or something about
it? Nope. They denied hearing today. It's you can't force them to hear the case. And they had the opportunity to hear the case. You can ask them to hear the case, and they can be like, no, we're good. That's what they said today, 5-4. No, we're good. We're good. Even Chief Justice John Roberts, who's conservative, and I believe has previously spoken out against against abortion. So I think you know where he sits personally on that. Even he was in the dissenting side today, because I think even he understood that this case probably isn't the best case to not hear. But the point is, and this goes back to the long game, there were five other conservatives, right? Five other conservatives minus the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice. So even with him dissenting, it got through. Imagine, and he's a conservative. So imagine if he was like, no, I'm for it. It missed 3. So that goes back to what happened with the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, right? But her holding on and eventually passing, she helped the conservatives, right? Because now the court is stacked. The court is 5/6 leaning to the right, who've openly expressed views of how they feel about certain things. So in other words, not to get too complicated with it, they're not even really being unbiased anymore. This is how we feel. This is what we believe. And this is what we're doing. And this is what the law says. So again, the Supreme Court justice is basically unconstitutional.
Now, can someone sue the legislature in Texas to try to say that their rights are being violated?
I believe so, and I'm sure someone will. I'm sure maybe motions have been made already. So, I mean, that process can go, and then it can go through the court system. But most of the lower courts, certainly in conservative states, are already stacked. So how many judges are going to hear the courts a certain way? And then if you go all the way up through the circuits, you get the Supreme Court. We just said how it's going to rule. Again, the long game. We stack the courts, which is what Republicans, conservatives have been saying for a good 20 years. We got to stack the courts.
Yeah, I think they've been stacking the courts not only at the Supreme Court level, but even the lower courts. They've been trying to push a lot of judges and other, you know, members who all think the same way, you know, into office.
No, that's what I just said. I just said at the lower levels, right, especially in conservative states. So I think Trump placed a record number of federal judges. I don't know if it's 100 or whatever, out of 100, and I think more than 150. So what I'm saying is, no, they've been stacking the courts, and they've been saying they're going to stack the courts. And it's for situations like this, where it's not about jurisprudence. It's not about constitutionality. It's about what we want. And I think that's the sad, ugly truth of it.
It's going to have ramifications for decades to come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, not to be all doom and gloom, and I just want our listeners to hear something, right? No one has to give their personal feelings on anything, but I am not a fan of abortion. I'm not a fan of abortion. I am not a fan of terminating pregnancy. That's just me personally. Anyone can feel how they feel. That's how I feel. But I am a supporter of free choice, because as citizens of this country, people have a right to make the best decisions they can for their lives, including medical decisions. As a man of faith, I believe that God gave each person free will to make their own choices. And so once we get to a road where the state is governing certain decisions based on people's individual choices, right? Not the public health, which is ironic, right? These conservative states don't care about the public health, or they don't want to get involved with mandating certain things for the public health, but we should be able to mandate certain things when it comes to certain individuals and how they choose to do with their own bodies. So we can't mandate you to wear masks to protect other people, but we can make sure you don't have a procedure that you feel you need for your own body.
And we allow an uninterested party to profit off that.
Exactly. So that's why, as we just said, it's not about jurisprudence. It's not about constitutionality. It's not. Because to the point you said, right, the Supreme Court could have said, okay, let's hear the merit of this case, right? This seems like a very important case. We're the Supreme Court of the land, so why would we not hear this very important case? Nah, we don't want to hear it. We're good. Really? So this very landmark decision, isn't this the very purpose of why there is a Supreme Court? Nah, we don't want to hear it. We're good.
Oh, very interesting. I can see how you know, if anybody's familiar with the Pelican Brief, how something like that came about. I'm not advocating anything like that, but you can see how things like that come about.
Well, again, or the other side can learn to play the long game, right? How do we implement strategies and principles that will help us win, help us live? Because you made a good point before, the Republicans don't seem that interested in life. They don't have a problem with guns running around. They don't have a problem with COVID running around. But they do have a problem with people making choices about their own bodies. So, again, is that a recipe for life? I don't know. But that being said, the long game is okay. They're doing what they want to do, and they're winning, right? So let's take it back to football, right? How do we beat Alabama, right? Because that should be every other college coaches and teams' question. How do we beat Alabama? Right? They win every year, right? So they're doing what they got to do to win. What are we going to do to beat them?
Take out Nick Saban.
Okay. I'm talking long game. You're talking assassinations here. So anyway.
Not really assassinations, but you're doing a quick solution. That's how you do. You know, you're winning because Nick Saban is such a great tactician, or you'd be like Dabo Sweeney and you come up with a better game plan and you recruit the same or better athletes.
So why didn't you just lead with that? Because that's the whole point, right? Nick Saban is not walking on water, so he's figured out something. If you're smart, you should want to figure out the same thing. If I'm a football coach, do I think I could be Nick Saban? Absolutely, absolutely. Now, what do I have to do? I got to recruit better players. So, I mean, that's a conversation a lot of my listeners don't want to get into. But no, that's the point.
No. What you're saying is true. It's true. We're not getting into that situation. But the fact of the matter, the reason why Alabama wins is because they're getting the players that used to go to other schools. So now they're going there. So that makes them better.
So you do the same thing. You get to get the players to come to your school. So what I'm saying, bringing it back to the strategy game as far as politics, you got to do the same thing. You got to think three steps ahead. Right? You can't always be reactionary and you can't always be just focused on the topic at hand. You got to think down the road. They were saying stack the courts, and they were stacking the courts. Right? They're saying the Second Amendment is not going to move, and the Second Amendment hasn't moved. It doesn't matter how many children get shot. It doesn't matter how many school shooters there are. The law doesn't change. The Second Amendment doesn't change. It's because of the Second Amendment, or it's because they played a long game. And by that, I mean they have the legislative votes, they have the judicial branch, and they even won with a yahoo of a presidential candidate last time around. Let's just be honest. No one thought Donald Trump was going to win because he shouldn't have won. So clearly, they're playing the long game in some way. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm simply saying today's episode, the long game, because every time we say what they do is ridiculous, doesn't make sense, it still seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a politician. You're not a politician, big group. So that's something that the politicians know better than us. But again, like you said, maybe learn from your opponents. Again, I don't want to say play the way your opponent plays because they don't play by the rules. So if nobody plays by the rules, then we're done. Show's over. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe you can learn some of the strategies but still implement your principles. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you need to have a long game approach but try to implement it, because, again, we tend to, I guess, when I say we, I'm talking about the Democratic Party, maybe it's a bit short-sighted and doesn't think two and three moves down the road. And they need to change that thinking if they are going to ever reverse this situation.
No, exactly. And that's the point of today's conversation. So let's get away from the doom and gloom and let's go to call to action for our listeners, because this one is a lot of doom and gloom. I mean, there's a lot of sad things going on in the world, a lot of trouble, a lot of turmoil. And last week we tried to have a lighter episode and, you know, just talk about superstardom and something light and easy. But there's too much going on in the world to not talk about. So today's topic, the long game, call to action, big group. What do you think that our listeners, the average person, should do in light of this recent event?
Oh, I don't really have a lot of things that they may be able to do. I think it's something that we spoke to before in our call to action. Pay attention. You need to definitely vote on and know who the candidates are for your judges, your local politicians, not just the major elections, but the smaller ones that affect you. Because maybe that judge that you're going to vote in has policies that affect your community negatively. You should try to know that and know what's going on and try to be able to pick the people that you think is best going to represent you and your interests.
Agreed. That's similar to my call to action, so I definitely agree with that. And I think my call to action is almost to take what you just said and to put it into action, right? So what I'm going to tell people is find out what you're wasting your time on and cut it out of your life, right? If you're watching a lot of TV, cut it out, cut the cord. If you're playing a lot of video games, play a lot less, right? And let's honestly, like the group says, start to pay attention to the things that matter. Watch more local TV, watch more local politics, pay more attention to the boots on the ground, things that affect our lives, and let's stop being so distracted by watching every TV show and every streaming app and just being distracted in it. And then every time something happens, I can't believe that happened. So honestly, if we really want to get involved, we need to cut out the distractions in our lives and make the things that matter more essential to our lives. So I say cut the cord. I say find out whatever activity you feel you're wasting maybe 10, 20% of your time on and cut it in half, if not out altogether.
Oh, great call to action, you know, to really affect change in your life. You have to make changes and you have to implement them and, you know, really, really make a conscious choice to do, you know, to make the change in your life to make, you know, have a better result.
Exactly. And I think just following up our listeners to this episode, we have to think long term, right? For some of us, I'm not going to say it's over or we're done, but this is not about the next 5, 10 years. This is about our children and our grandchildren and our grandchildren, because clearly there are people making decisions that don't care about anyone's children or grandchildren. And the reason why I say that, like you said, we have climate deniers who are continuing to wreck the planet. It's not that the planet's been wrecked and, you know, we're not aware of it. Even while it's being wrecked, we're just ignoring it. And the same in so many other areas. So I think now we have to really say, okay, are we just going to ruin the planet for any future generations? And I think, again, pay attention, as you said, cut out the distractions, like I said, and let's really think for our children and our children's children.
Well said.
Thank you. So for our listeners, tonight's episode was The Long Game. I'm Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.